We're starting with Hilchos, with Sefer Mada, Sefer HaMada. The Rambam starts every Sefer with a Pasuk. So you see on the top of the page, Misho Chastecha Liyodecha, V'tzidkascha Liyishrei Lev. So, obviously, highlighting, and that's why I'm reading this, the value of being Yodecha, a person who knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the brief introduction to Perek Rishon of Hilchos Yisori HaTorah, which is where the Rambam begins all of Sefer Mada, is that the Rambam counts as a mitzvah, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeisichem Eretz Mitzrayim. The Rambam counts that as the first mitzvah in his Sefer HaMitzvos. The reason why that's strange is because it doesn't really sound much like a mitzvah at all. If you look at the Aseres Adibros, so you've got don't kill, don't steal, honor the Shabbos, honor your parents, keep Shabbos, honor your parents. Those are all commandments. Honor your parents, keep Shabbos, don't kill. I am God doesn't really sound like a commandment. It doesn't sound like a mitzvah. It just sounds like an introduction. I am your God, and therefore, keep Shabbos, honor your parents, don't kill. So the fact that the Rambam counts it as a mitzvah is a little bit of a chiddush. And in fact, the Ramban in his parish on his critical glosses on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, the Ramban writes that the Bahag, the Halachos Gedolos, which was a Gaonic work of mitzvos, collection of mitzvos, that was probably written in the 7th or 8th, probably 8th century or so, a couple of hundred years before the Rambam. And the Rambam says that he's writing his Sefer HaMitzvos as a critique on the Bahag, the Baal Halachos Gedolos, the Halachos Gedolos, which we think was probably written by somebody named Rav Shimon Kayara. So he, in his Sefer HaMitzvos, does not count belief in God. And the Ramban says, yeah, that's pretty pashut. Why he doesn't count it as a mitzvah? Because it is the basis for all the other mitzvahs. Right? If you do, let's say you have a rogue government, okay? Like just taking current events. You have somebody like ISIS, and they decide to proclaim themselves a government and that they have control. What do you mean? It's Syria, it's Iraq, it's not your own country. And they start making laws. So you don't accept them as an authority. So you also won't keep any of their laws. You can't start talking about laws, right? If you accept that Congress has the right to declare laws, so then you'll start to keep the laws. But if you don't believe in, if you don't even think Congress exists, so then you're not going to keep any of the laws. So if you don't believe in God, so it's foolish to talk about a list of God's commandments. Because how can you have a list of commandments of somebody that doesn't exist? So you can't say that believing in God is a mitzvah. Believing in God has to be the basis, that the prerequisite in order to have a whole institution of mitzvos. That's why the Ramban says that the Bahag does not accept that the Rambam learns this as a mitzvah. There's another argument suggested by one of the Rishonim that how can you have a mitzvah to believe in something? Right? Like, Yair, do you believe there was a civil war? Okay, you believe there was. Let's say you say you don't believe there was a civil war. So I can... Like that, is it shayach to say there's a mitzvah to believe that the civil war happened? Doesn't make any sense. If you believe it happened, I don't have to command you because you believe it happened. And if you don't believe it happened, so believe it. Believe it. So he could say, okay, I believe. But either he believes or he doesn't believe. You know, it's like commanding someone to like tomatoes. If you don't like tomatoes, what can you command? You can command someone to eat them. You can command someone to say you like tomatoes, but you can't command someone to like them. It just doesn't make any sense. So I can have a mandate to believe in God. Either you believe or you don't believe. So that's why a lot of people, or that's why some attack the Rambam for counting this as a mitzvah in his Sefer HaMitzvos. But that's because if you look in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam says there's a mitzvah to believe in God. But the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos was written in Arabic, probably because he was writing it for the masses, and the masses spoke Arabic. He didn't write it in Hebrew. Mishnah Torah was written in Hebrew. So if you look in Mishnah Torah, here you see probably what the Rambam Shita really is. It's not there's a mitzvah to believe in God. Rather, what is it? So now we will begin the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, Halacha Aleph. Yesoda Yesodos V'Amud HaChachmos, the foundation of everything, what's important to know for all knowledge, is Leida Shiesha Matzoy Rishon, to know that there is a first cause. There's something that started everything. This changes everything. The mitzvah is not to believe. The mitzvah is to know. And to know requires you to go out and to study and to analyze. So the Rambam doesn't say to believe. The Rambam says Leida. The Rambam says to know, to have knowledge. And that's why I highlighted the pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Hamada, Mishochastecha liyodecha, for people who know God. So probably the Rambam's first mitzvah is to know God. And as we're going to see, knowing God doesn't just mean to know He exists, but it means to study philosophy and to know about the essence of God, to study the essence of God. Okay, so let's read. Leida sheisha matzoi rishon, v'hu mamtzi kol nimtza. He is the one who created everything that exists. V'chol ha-nimtzoyim mishamayim v'aretz, u'ma shebeinehem. And all things that exist from heaven to earth and everything that's between, lo nimtzu ela amitas himtzo. They all exist only because of the truth of His existence. We'll see. It sounds a little abstract. We'll see what that means. V'im yale al hadashu eno matzoi ein davar acher yachol imatzos. If a person considers for a second that God would not exist, then nothing could exist. V'im yale al hadas she'ein ko nimtza milvado mitzuyim hu levado yeh matzoi. But if a person considers that all of the creations besides him don't exist, he would still continue to exist. This is what we refer to in Jewish philosophy as the concept of the mechuyev hametzias. Mechuyev, like obligation, the absolute metzias. Meaning, and the argument goes as follows: God's existence is not dependent on anything else, but everything else's existence is dependent on God. Meaning, if God would cease to exist, everything would cease to exist. It's like pulling the plug on the electricity. Everything stops. But if everything would stop to exist, God could still exist. God still will exist. Because His existence is not dependent on anything, but everything else's existence is dependent on Him. So knowing that piece of information, that's part of the mitzvah of Leida. It is something that you can go out and study. It is something you could act and go. You could say, I believe in God. Very nice. So Zach believes in God. But that's not enough to just believe in God. Now you got to study and develop a sophisticated and mature understanding of who God is. And the Rambam gives you an example. This philosophic idea that God is the Mechuyev HaMetzias, that's part of your mitzvah. You could say, listen, I don't know anything about God. I'm not so into philosophy. I don't understand the proofs of God, but I believe He exists. Very good. That's not a mitzvah. That's the basis of everything. You want him to get a mitzvah now? So go read books, get proofs of God, try to understand God's essence. Then you're being mekayim the mitzvah of Leida, to know God. V'lo yivatol milu betulam. God won't be batel if everything else is batel. Shekol anim tzarm tzrichim lo, v'hu baruch hu eno tzarech lahem, v'lo le'echad mehem. God doesn't need anything else to exist. Lefikach ein amitaso ka amitas echad mehem. And therefore, God is completely unique in all of creation. Because everything in creation needs God to exist, and God does not need anything else in order for Him to exist. V'hu shanavi omer v'Hashem Elokim emes. Hu levado emes. V'ein le'acher emes kamitaso. Emes means truth. But emes also means kiyum. The reason why something we call truth is called emes is because the truth has kiyum, it has sustainability. A lie, sheker, is not rooted in anything, and therefore it doesn't have sustainability. You can't keep a lie going for so long because it's not based on anything. But something that's real, something that's true, is eternal. That's why Torah is emes. Hashem is emes. And that's why we strive to be people of emes, because it means that we're connected to something that's eternal. So that's what the Navi says when it says Hashem is emes. What does it mean Hashem is true? It doesn't just mean that Hashem is true in the sense that He exists. It means much more than that. Next time you say Kriya Shema, you have to keep this in mind because you're developing a great, more sophisticated perspective of God. When you say Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Elokeichem emes, when you say Hashem is emes, it doesn't just mean that He's true. Like, what does that mean He's true? He tells the truth? He exists? No, it means much more than that. It means that He exists in a sense that nothing else exists in that sense. Because everyone else's existence is dependent on God. And in fact, people die and then they're gone. Okay, maybe their souls continue. But God's existence is unique because it exists without dependency on anything else. V'hu sha'Torah omeres ein od milvado. This is the idea of ein od milvado. Klomar, Ein Sham Matsui Emes, Milvado Kamoso. There's nothing else that truly exists because everything else can theoretically disappear. God can never disappear. Hashem can destroy all of creation and it'll all be gone, back to Tohu Vavohu. But God can never be destroyed. Hamatzui Azehu Elokei Olam Adon Kol Aretz, Hu Amanig Hagalgal Bikoach Shein Lokeitz V'Tachlis. He is God of the world. He is the manhig. He's the one who drives existence. Meaning, you see here already in the Rambam, that God is not just a creator, that then, like the clockmaker, right? That's the famous mashal, the clockmaker. God didn't just create a clock, and then the clock just runs by itself. Right? God creates something, then he stands back. That's how most things are. You know, you have a cell phone over here. Okay, so this was made in some factory in China. And there was some Chinese guy sitting here working on the phone and pressing buttons on a computer. And then once it gets shipped, he no longer has any, no more relationship with this phone. Because it's already in existence. God is not like that. With God, he's manhig, the galgal bekoach. He is with his own power. He's powering the system. She'en lo keitz v'tachlis, bekoach she'en lo hefsik. And it's nonstop. The mashal I like to think about is like electricity. Somebody built this room. And they put light bulbs in the room. So that's why there's light here. Now you also know, because you know a little bit about electrical engineering, that there aren't just light bulbs. There's a guftura, there's a socket, thank you, that accepts the light bulb. Connected to the socket, what else are there? Wires. Those wires go someplace down to the bottom of the building. They go out of the building and they connect to a power plant. That power plant, that power station connects to a big power plant somewhere. So it's true, when they built this, and some guy put in the wires and put in the lights, he now left, and who knows, hey, maybe he lives in Tel Aviv somewhere, and he has no more connection to this building. He built it, and it's done. But you also know that these lights would not be on if right now, at this second, there wasn't electricity being pumped into the building. Right now, without electricity, those lights would not be on. So if all of that electricity would stop, so even though everything is built already, all the lights would go off. Hashem not only built the building, but right now he's in the power plant sending an electrical current into the building. Meaning he didn't just create the world. Right now he's willing all of creation to continue to exist. And he's pumping into the universe some type of divine flow of electricity that keeps the world going. That's what he says. The galgal is sovev tamid, v'yevcher shi sovev below misavev. The entire universe is operating, and it can't operate without an operator, somebody sending electricity into it. V'hu baruchu. See, it's interesting, because when the Rambam was writing, as you know, there was no electricity. I wonder what mashal he had for this. Like this idea that something needs I wonder if there was anything in his time period. I don't know, maybe like they had like water mills and there was water flowing through it. So he had that like mashal in his head. But he had to have some type of mashal to understand this. The idea that the world only is powered because Hashem's doing it. And he's clearly doing this without a body. He's just willing it to occur. Yediyas davar zeh mitzvah saseh. Here you see the Rambam says it mefurish. Knowing all of this, what I just told you, these ideas, everything I just told you, by the way, I encourage everyone, if you're using your own Rambam, write in words you don't know. If you don't know a word, ask me. Take notes on it, because you're going to want to know these Rambams. Okay? If we end up getting to Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, and you want to like stop at that point, so, okay, that's okay. Those are not everything's important, but these are classic Rambams. You want to take notes on these, I would think. Yediyas davar zeh, knowing this, is a mitzvah aseh. Shenemar Anochi Hashem Elokecha. This is the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. V'chol ha'mala al daito she'esham Eloka achar chutz bimenu. Anyone who thinks that there is some type of divine being besides God is over below sase. Shenemar lo yelecha Elohim acherim al panai. Don't have other gods al panai. V'kofer be'ikr. Shezehu ha'ikr ha'gadol shakol taloi bo. A person who denies this is a kofer be'ikr. What is kofer be'ikr? You say someone's a kofer. What does that mean? Kofer means to deny. And ikr means the root, the source of it all. A kofar be'ikr means he denies the root, the source of everything. Because this is the ikr agadol that everything else is dependent on. A, he means knowing this information, plus God. God is the ikr that everything else is tali on. Okay. So we already did the first two mitzvos out of 613. Those are the Rambam's first two mitzvos. Halacha Zayin. Elo ka ze echadu. This God, meaning Hashem, he's one. Eno shnayim velo yoser al shnayim. Ela echad. She'en ki yuchudo echad min ha'achadim ha'nimtzam ba'olam. And when we say he's one, we don't mean he's one in the classical sense that we use the term one regarding other nimtzayim ba'olam, by other creations in the world. For instance, he's lo echad kimin, shu kolel achadim harbe, velo echad kiguf, shu nechlok lemechlokot ulektzavot. So he says, it's not one, for instance, echad kimin, which is kolel achadim harbe. Like you might say, I'm not sure exactly how to differentiate between the different phrases here the Rambam uses. We use the word one in many different ways. Like, for instance, when we say one, we sometimes mean one of a series. Like, I gave one shiur, and next week there'll be another shiur. That's not what we mean when we say God is one. Or you might say, like, we're one family. When you say we're one family, you mean we have lots of different parts, but we're all united. That's also not what we mean when we say God is one. Like, we're all one yeshiva. That's not what we mean when we say one. We don't mean, like, one body, which is broken up into little pieces. God's oneness is unlike anything else. Ilu hayu elokut harbe hayu gufin ugvios. If there were many gods, so then we could start speaking about different entities, different bodies. A gvi is a body. Whenever you're counting things, like if you have a group, nimnim, you have a bunch of different things that are counted separately, so each one is unique because different occurrences, that's irua, different occurrences happen to different bodies. If you have a bunch of different gods, so then each one would have its own unique qualities, because that's what happens when you have different bodies. You look one way, you look a different way, I look a different way. Also, if God had a body, anything that's physical eventually decomposes and breaks down. There's nothing that's physical that doesn't have an end to it. And also, anything that's physical and breaks down and has an end, so too its abilities and its force breaks down. This is a little bit abstract, I'm going to admit. The Rambam is trying to, this is very medieval of the Rambam, the Rambam is trying to use some type of logical argument to prove to you, I mean, he doesn't just say it. His point here is, God is one unlike any other one. The way I say it, even though I don't know if this makes any more sense, to me it makes sense, but I don't know if it will to you. Usually things that are one are very complex. Like you have one machine, it's very complex, it's made up of lots of pieces. God is one, but in the ultimate simplest form. Meaning, he's not a one that's made up of lots of pieces. So, like, in this world, things that are made up of only one piece are very simple. Right? Like, anything that we see that's complexity is made up here, a book. It's got ink, and it's got paper, and it's got a hardcover, and pages. There's no such thing as something that's the ultimate simplicity, but the ultimate oneness and the ultimate complexity at the same time. If that doesn't make any sense, that's okay, because it's very hard for us to understand God. But that's what he's saying. God is one, but he's not a one of made up of lots of pieces. He's a one that encompasses everything in him, but they don't make up. It's not like, oh, I'm a piece of God and you're a piece of God and all together we make up God. God transcends all of that. God also doesn't have a body, even though everything we know of has body to it. Even, you know, the air. You take air and you put it into a laboratory, you could see it's got hydrogen and it's got this and it's got that, you know, carbon and carbon and other qualities to it. Okay, it's been a long time since I've been in, my periodic table, I'm a little rusty. But The point is that he's trying to make an argument that there's no way God can have a goof. Because if he had a goof, that would mean he's physical. And if he's physical, that means he has an end. And God doesn't end. This is one of the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikar Emuna, that God does not have a body. The Ravid famously argues on the Rambam and says, right, the Rambam says it's one of the Yud Gimel Ikarim, which means that if you don't believe it, you don't get a chelek in Olam Haba. The Ravid argues and says, you could still get Olam Haba even if you believe it. He doesn't believe it, the Ravid. But he thinks that you could still get Olam Haba if you believe that God has a body. Because many people, there are a lot of psukim that suggest that God has a body, as we're about to see. Since God doesn't have a body, things that happen to bodies don't happen to God. God doesn't get tired. God doesn't get angry. I know it says, oh, God got angry at Klal Yisrael. Doesn't mean angry. Angry is a human emotion. We use that term because we don't have any other term to use to say that we messed up and that he was whatever, disappointed. But even disappointed is not a right word, because that's a human quality as well. If you want to impress your friends, so the term you would use for this is anthropomorphism. Anthropomorphism means giving God human qualities. There's another term which, in case you have very smart friends, and that doesn't impress them. So there's another term which I forgot exactly how to pronounce it, but I think it's something like anthropopathism or something along those lines, and that's giving God human emotions. Giving God human qualities means like giving him a physical body. That's anthropomorphism. Anthropo, whatever the other one is giving him human emotion. So let's just finish this Rambam before Mincha starts. Lefikach ef sheshia ela echad. So since God doesn't have a body, he must be one. Again, you have to figure out what exactly is the logic. If we were learning this b'iyun, so we'd spend time like trying to get the exact logic down. We're trying to get some b'kiyas here in the Rambam. Yediyas davar zeh is also a mitzvah saseh. Shenemar, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. When we say Hashem is Echad, what we mean is all the things that we just spoke about. He doesn't have a body. He's the ultimate simple being. Hare Mefurish B'Torah B'Neviim. I'm waiting for the clap. She'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gufa Gviya. It's Mefurish and Psukim that God does not have a body. Shenamar Ki Hashem Hu Elokim B'Shamayim Mimal V'Aretz Mitachas. V'Aguf Lo Yeh B'Shnei Mekomos. How can he be in Shamayim and Aretz? V'Nemar Ki Lo Re'isem Kol Tmuna. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you saw me, but you didn't see any object. You didn't see any image. V'Nemar V'El Mi Tidamyun V'Yashaveh. What can you compare me to? What can you image me? You can't. There's no image. You can't think of God. By the way, sometimes when a person's davening, they want to image something. What can I think about when I'm davening? So you definitely don't think of like an old man with a white beard sitting on like a floating throne. That's definitely not what you're supposed to think about. That's why the Kabbalists say that when you daven, you should image Yudke Vovke. If you want to image something in your head, you should image the letters Yudke Vovke. Because that's the closest shaychus we have to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Yudke Vovke. But there's no image we can have of him. Ilu Hayaguf Hayadoma Lashar Gufim. The Pasuk says, I can't be compared to anything else. If he had a body, he could be compared to anything else. Im Kain, if this is all true, Mazeh Shekosav B'Torah. What does it mean in the Torah when it says V'tachas Raglov? It says that they saw Kalivnas HaSapir, right? In Mishpatim, I think, in the end. It says that they glanced at God and they saw Kalivnas HaSapir. What does that mean? How can they see under his legs? We say there's Avtor. We'll pick up from here, Mitzvah Hashem, next week.